I am now joined for this special interview with Warwickshire's Anthony Allen. How are you, Anthony?
I'm very well, thank you. Yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. Keeping as well as you can at the moment. How is this, current situation affecting you and the family?
It's a difficult one, really. I mean, both of us are still key workers, so I'm out working daily along with the other half. She's a care worker, so luckily, in one way, we get the kids to go to school. The other side of it is, we're putting ourselves out there along with the NHS, etc. So we just want it to come and go now, don't we? I think we're all in the same boat.
Yeah, definitely. It must be quite stressful for you, though.
It is stressful. But if you look at it the other way, we're not cooped up in the house all day. Mm. I think if we were, the better half would have killed me by now.
So what are you doing when you're not working? What are you doing to try and keep yourself occupied, both mentally and physically?
Most of the time, to be honest with you. The only spare time we get in the evening, maybe we go for a walk. Unfortunately, both our sets of parents are self-isolated for the 12 weeks, not just the 14 days, as it were. Difficult part is we can't go in and see them, as you would with grandparents. Kids love to see them. So it's sit at the bottom of the garden, as it were, and talk from a distance, shall we say. I think it's the same as everyone else. Everyone else is doing the same, Protect yourself and protect them at the same time. If everyone else is as thoughtful as everyone like I know, we could be over this quite quickly. But as you see people in parks and God knows what, doing whatever.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's a very strange situation, a very unique one. And I think it's often, we're living in these weird times. I think sometimes we lose sight of just how strange, the moment is. And it seems weird circumstances to be talking to you about darts in the last few months and stuff, but the 6 months or so before this happened were really successful for you.
They were, yeah. It was as though someone flipped a switch. I started playing well, even though we had a lot of uncertainty where darts was going from grassroots. A lot of players like myself put ourselves on the line and tried to back certain avenues and did the best we could, and luckily enough it started to pay off for me.
So what motivated the decision to start playing in more BDO WDF events?
The main thing, I've been playing county quite a while, and I kept getting told, why don't you do it, because you're a good competition player. I think I'm a better competition player than I am a county player, to be honest with you. I enjoy it. The feeling you get is you get a buzz from it. I think the final straw that pushed me into it, my relationship status changed within 2 years ago. And the lady who was backing me pushed me a little bit further, and she sort of gave me all the support I needed and a bit of belief, and hey ho, it's paid off. So we'll see where this trip and journey takes me.
I mean, the last 6 months, as I say, were very good. You reached the semi-final in the Republic of Ireland, and then you reached a semi in Romania as well a few months later.
Yeah, that's right. The Ireland one, I actually travelled to Ireland with my mother. She's Irish herself, which meant a lot to her. While I was there, I stayed with her. It was a bit of a surreal circumstance, really, because I grew up a little bit in Ireland, and it's sort of the first time I had time to go back and enjoy Ireland itself, and the venue, the setup, everything about it was amazing. It was ran well. Obviously made some good friends from that. That was probably one of my first ones, which I've actually done. I've done a couple before that, but that was the first one I enjoyed and got into. And I think it proved that with my darts.
And then you went to Romania, obviously a very good setup there. They were using the Dart Connect software, and you were unlucky to lose in the semis to a local player who then obviously lost to Nick Kenny in the final.
Yeah, Mr. Kadar. what can I say? I think I peaked too early. I had a great run through the day. Obviously, I beat Wayne Warren. I think it was the round before, the one before that. I think it was a 97 or somewhere around that. Played really well. And then it comes to the semis, there was a bit of a wait, a couple of hours, which is hard for any player, I think, to wait around and wait for your next game sort of thing. But, we both did it, and unfortunately he handled it a little bit better than me, and a lot of local support for him, nothing taken away. But I didn't play as well in that game as I did against Wayne, so he deserves to beat me. But next next time. I love him.
What did it mean to you to beat a world champion in Wayne Warren?
Growing up as a kid, I used to play for Warwickshire Youth, and Kev Painter was one of my idols, along with Trina, and I used to do the Town and Country Festival, which is local in Coventry, and looking up at players like that, all you want to do is emulate them and, you know, play the best within your area, you know, and to play Wayne, he's a gentleman anyway. I've looked up to Wayne, I've seen him on the Down Circuit, Lakeside, whether it's Gold Cup or whatever it was, and to eventually get to play him, luckily enough, I didn't let nerves get to me. I got it done, and I played well, and he was such a gentleman in defeat. You know, I take my hat off to him. Him and Nick Kenny, both from there, two gents. So for me, it's just an amazing feat.
And having a win like that under your belt must be an experience you can draw on in future events.
Definitely. To be fair, you know, when you're playing the player, most of them can play. You know, there are the exceptions where local people enter these tour events, etc. But majority of the guys, I mean, I've become good friends with Dave Evans. I mean, look at him now. He's absolutely flying. Again, I travel a lot with Nick Falwell. He's absolute class. And playing alongside these guys week in, week out on the tour obviously improves your game. But it also gives you that belief that you deserve to be there and you've earned that right. And when you start beating them, like you said, that gets in your head and you know you've got nothing to worry about if your darts are there and your game's there.
And, you know, you mentioned Dave Evans. What have you made of these darts at home events that have been taking hold over the last few weeks?
The majority of them, I think they're pretty good, considering the circumstances we're under. There are a few dubious ones where you can actually notice the scores are quite good. And if they were that good, they'd be quite well up in rankings, etc. A few being caught out, I believe, today. I think the Modus one, I've been watching Dave, very good. Remote TV, Dean Winstanley, I believe, is involved in setting a few things up. I think they're doing very well. A couple of players struggling because it's a new venture. All in all, I think it's a good idea. It's passing time for people and giving others, you know, spectators something to watch as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think they've certainly been a great initiative and it's been a good way to keep the sport ticking over. And what's something, going back to the BDO WDF circuit, the last event before this all shut down was the Isle of Man where you played, but did you have some issues getting there after the collapse of Flybe?
Yes, we did. A friend of mine who also I've tried to convince to start doing a few more events is Steve Giddens. He's a local lad. I've known Steve a long time, his brothers, his family. So I collared him, another young lad, Kieran Fox, who again I think is going to be a good player. We decided to book up and get a nice cheap flight, and Steve booked them all, only for them to go with us. So we tried to get alternative flights, but the prices were just astronomical. Cost effective wise, it just wouldn't justify us paying it. So we ended up booking a ferry, which cost us £300. We had one of the roughest crossings I've ever been on in my life. We got there safe and sound. The Isle of Man's lovely. The venue was lovely. It was set up very well. The guys who run it done a great job. There was always this, there's something hanging over it, obviously with the situation of the virus, everywhere closing down, flights stopping, certain countries stopping, people coming in and out. So it's on people's minds while you're playing. I know it's easy to say, oh, you're playing darts, or you're having a good drink while you're playing. Yes, yeah, some players need drink, some don't. But when you've got something like that hanging over it, as well as the issues the BDO obviously have and have now come to fruition, it was a great experience, something you'll never get back, but there was always something hanging over it at the same time, if you can understand what I'm saying.
Oh, definitely. That was something I wanted to ask you about, whether the virus had led to a change in the atmosphere over the weekend.
To be honest with you, it didn't change the atmosphere as such, because people were still allowed to go to pubs, they were still allowed to drink, they were still about to do stuff. The hardest part was people back home understanding what they were doing, what the situation was back home. far as the place goes, you know, they've done everything they could, or everything possible that they could, to run it as normal as possible. You know, I mean, you had Torre Molinos hanging in the balance because people were flying out from Isle of Man to Torre Molinos, not knowing if that was on. Someone going straight from there to Liverpool, from Liverpool to, obviously, Spain. And that was playing on people's minds. So there was a lot of issues people were talking about. Whether that had an issue with the way people played, I don't know. But all in all, I think the organisers done a very good job with the issues that were going on.
You mentioned the issues surrounding the tour.
Yeah.
How did the different ranking systems, and, you know, us not knowing where the World Masters or the world may lie, how did that affect your decision to go to events? Because some would favour you in the BDO sense, but those points might not matter at the end of the year.
This is a difficult question for me. I was very loyal to the BDO. I was very loyal to certain people who ran the BDO. I was made assurances that certain things would take place. These things were, there was contracts in place, along with every other player. All the other players were assured of this. Now, obviously, everyone knows with what's happened over the last weekend. This isn't the case. As far as I'm aware now, the BDO will not be running any BDO World Championships, World Masters. I'm aware that the WDF will be, or are hoping to be, running a World Championship, etc. As far as points go, because I had such a good start to the year with Ireland, you know, moving on, picking up some decent points along the way, my choice to choose whether it was WDF or BDO, it became a lot more simple. I had to, it's a gamble, but I was going on what I was told. I've followed BDO and done WDF when they're present and when their points are on offer. Obviously, I'll take any points which are, you know, there. But we've got to the stage now where it feels like all players, including myself, have had a slap in the face and been left high and dry, with the hope of maybe the WDF doing something to help us, BDO, WDF, whichever way you look at the points, and giving us something to play for, or, yeah, help us out, maybe a transfer of points or something like that, you know, a good show of faith. I don't know. Honestly, don't know which way it'll go. But we need grassroots, whether it's WDF, BDO, whichever way you look at it, we need something in place. And the players need something to play for, and a name, a goal, you know, why they're doing the tour, whether it's WDF. Obviously, it's not BDO anymore, but if we're going to do a tour, you need guarantees that these are going to be in place and something to play for.
Obviously, without being in the room, it's hard to comment, but what is your assessment of Des being voted back onto the board?
That's a very raw one for me, because obviously I've just said that I backed Des, Paula. With all the promises, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. I went to Cyprus last year, which I thought was absolutely amazing. The event was absolutely brilliant, the hotel, the lot. I took a good lady, we had a holiday while we were there. Obviously, with what's gone on, I don't think social media has helped the BDO. I don't think it helps either organisation, whether it's WDF or BDO. Bad publicity ruins everything. And I went on Facebook the other day and put a post on there saying I wish everyone could get on and work together. It would make darts such a better place for not only players but the supporters. We are where we are now. Would I back Des now he's back in charge? When I heard he'd been taken back as director, I was very shocked, especially after knowing his thoughts, etc., what had happened and his beliefs. Never in the this world would I have thought he'd be good back as director, never mind chairman. With him being chairman, with the other directors on board, I believe that they're only taking on the BICC, which is County and Super League, with the odd competition like the British Open. Is it worth it? Is there going to be a BDO? I mean, I know that they're looking at Tri Nations and all this stuff coming in. I'd love to say he could turn it round and make things work. After seeing what's happened to me personally, I've spent a hell of a lot of money travelling around doing the tour, and that's with the help of a couple of sponsors. You know, I've got two great sponsors. And they're not going to be happy. I've played all this year for nothing. So all I can say is that's down to Des Jacklin and Paula not giving us anything to go for and broken promises. Now, if he's been voted back in as chairman, unless there's something released to prove what's going to happen, whether there's some, you know, evidence to say, right, this is going to be in place, that's what you're doing, how do we go forward without anything like that? We can't. So my faith, I'm afraid, is going to have to be WDF for now. And I hope and wish Des all the best with what he's doing, but I can't put my faith in them yet. Give me something to believe in. Give me something to say, right, I can believe in you now. I've put my faith in you for the last 12 months, 18 months. I can't do it anymore until I get some proof in the pudding, shall we say.
I appreciate you being so honest about something that I know is going to be very personal to a number of players.
Yeah.
On a brighter note, you mentioned that you played Warwickshire Youth. Do you remember the first time you picked up a set of darts?
I do, yeah. I had a go at throwing them in the board. My mum used to play Super League. I think she played a couple of times for Warwickshire. The first time I picked up a dart, I threw it in the board. It bounced out and went into my belly button. So it's a very raw subject. It did hurt. But it was my mum. I've got to thank my mum for getting me into darts. My sister could throw. She actually hit a 180 on the Lakeside stage before I did.
Mm.
So she never fails to remind me of that.
But you obviously recovered from that, you know, painful first incident with a dart. And, you know, you played for County for a number of years.
Yeah, I think it's 7 or 8 years now. I've played B to start with. I've moved on to the A team. I've also a selector now for Warwickshire, which I thoroughly enjoy. I think it's a great, great part of the job. We get to pick the best players from around. There's more logistics and, how can we say, politics involved in picking a team than you would believe. It's a difficult job to do until you're in that position. You don't know how difficult. But we've got a great team around us, something I'd never change. And I do love the county. Whether the system's going to stay the same in the future, I don't know.
I mean, you must have built up some great memories over the years as well, from weekends away.
I have, yes. County-wise, I've had some great games. I've also had some bad games. I think I said earlier, I'm definitely a better competition player than I am a county player, which, don't get me wrong, I'd love to change that now, you know, now just to try and push on. And I've also made some very good friends. You make them within the county season, whether they're home teams or away teams, whichever way. That's male and female, and the amount of respect you get from both ways, you give it them, they give it you, and it's nice to see. It's a lovely thing to be part of.
Well, definitely, and I really appreciate, you know, your time. Obviously, you're very busy at the moment, still being a key worker and stuff, but I thought we'd finish with some quick fire questions that are about you.
Okay.
So, who would you describe as your best friends in darts?
Best friends in darts? I'd say Steve Gillen's a good friend, Kieran Fox, Don Rambo Ramsey, Wayne Bowes, my travel companion. I get on very well with Nick Fulwell. I've got a lot of good acquaintances, which I can't really call best friends because I'm never with them all the time. But on the tour, I mean, you've got people like Dave Evans. What a lad he is. He's a young James Beaton. He's one to watch out for the future. There's some great lads out there. And, you know, the more you do, the more people you meet. And it's amazing, amazing to be part of.
Who would you label your favourite player, either from the past or present?
Eric Bristow.
Any particular reason for?
He was the guy I used to watch. I've played him. I was lucky enough to play him and Keith Deller in a charity thing with a good friend of mine, Tommy Ryan. He's also one of my best mates in darts. He's more of a mate than darts now because he keeps quitting every 2 minutes. So I hope he comes back again out of retirement for the 10th time. Eric, he'd done it all. He was the master. As far as I'm concerned, he was the one, you know, and fair play to Taylor. He's come on and look what he did after being with Eric. He's just the best there was.
If you had a film made about your life, who would you want to play you?
That's a good question. How many fat ginger people do you know? Have you seen Fat Boy Run?
Yep.
The guy who plays Fat Boy.
Okay.
I don't know his name.
Okay. And what was the last film you watched?
The last film we watched? It was last night. I watched White House Down.
Very nice. Yes. Well, Anthony, thank you so much for your time. I really do appreciate it. And, you know, stay safe and stay healthy, you and the family.
Thank you very much. And I wish everyone the same. You know, stay safe and do it for the right reasons. Stay home, protect the NHS, etc. So stay safe and thanks for the call.
That's all right, mate. Cheers. Thank you very much for your time.